Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. It's our delight to have you on board with us once again on Let's Face the Issues broadcast. We invite you, our listener, to participate, be a part of the program. Let me remind you, as you call in, you don't have to give your name. Give your first name if you like, but you don't have to give any identification. We'd love to have you call and join in the dialogue and discussion. And by the way, you can agree or disagree. You don't have to agree with what I say. The broadcast each day is brought to you based on biblical authority. And yet we have those that disagree vehemently with the scripture, and I understand that. So we'd love to have your dialogue and discussion. Love to have your input. You can call us at 401-1413. That telephone call simply made gets you right through to the studios and right to our microphone so that we can discuss these issues together. Let me remind you that telephone number is 401-1413. I'll try to recall to give you that two or three times during the course of the broadcast, but we'd love to have you join in the dialogue and the discussion. Let me remind you, Let's Face the Issues is a broadcast program based on a biblical worldview. When we look at what the scripture says, we ought to understand that Jesus said to his disciples, John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no such thing as real freedom outside of the knowledge of the Word of God. Real freedom comes in the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And Jesus Christ is the Logos, the Word. And Jesus himself said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. And so I encourage people to have a biblical worldview, a central biblicist worldview. It's not a matter of having to depend on a dogma or a denominational rites, rituals, rules, and regulations. It's not a matter of having to depend on some ideological, philosophical idea and thought from some political segment of society. It's not a matter of having to wonder what I should do in a certain situation. It's a matter of going to the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of anything as far as advice that I could give to any Christian, any better advice than simply know the book. Know what the Word of God says. Study the Word. Know the Word. Inculcate the Word of God in your heart and life. You see, we have some in society today, and for the past 50-plus years, we've had a major problem in our pulpits. And that problem in the pulpit is where spineless, weak-minded Christian pastors, without a full knowledge of the Word of God, will stand and tell the congregants that you ought not to be involved in the political issues, you ought not to be involved in politics. We should just tell people about Jesus and let the world handle the balance. Ladies and gentlemen, that is simply not a balanced biblical worldview. That is not a central biblicist philosophy or ideological thought or theological persuasion at all. You see, God created the home, and God created government, and God created the church, and he did it in that order. And so anything that we discuss about social issues, political issues, biblical issues, theological issues, home issues, issues about marriage, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all fountainheaded right out of the Word of God. And so I know many times you hear this if you listen daily, and perhaps you say, well, why does he keep reminding us of that? Because I want anybody that's listening and everybody that's listening, if you're newly tuned in or if you've been with us for quite some time, I want us all to recognize the fact that this broadcast is not formulated based on what I think or what I happen to pick up. It's what I believe is authoritative based on the Word of God. And I believe that as Christians in the 21st century, it's time for us to get real. It's time for us to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. And in doing so, we need to know the scripture to do so. We need to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. We need to be able to defend the faith that's once delivered to the saints. We need to recognize that the word of God is the inspired, infallible, inerrant word. And without the word, ladies and gentlemen, there's simply darkness. You can go to any place on the globe, and where Jesus Christ is not proclaimed, where the word of God is not held in high esteem, you will find absolute chaos, anarchy. You'll find communism and socialism that destroys the minds and the hearts of the people in that society. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, we want to discuss today what I'm simply calling socialism versus constitutionalism and Christianity. Socialism versus constitutionalism and Christianity. You see, ladies and gentlemen, every Christian, every American, every concerned citizen ought to be concerned over what we're witnessing in our social, spiritual, political system in our nation today. You notice I said every citizen, every conservative, every Christian ought to be concerned, highly concerned today, over what we're witnessing in our social, spiritual, political system in our nation. You see, across America today, we find a large number of communist light. I'll pause for a moment, let that sink in. Communist light, simply talking about socialists running for local, state, and national offices. In fact, the report back in, I believe it was March or April of this year, indicated that we have across the nation over 100 socialists running for office. Over 100 socialists running for office. That's on all levels, local, state, and national levels, running for different positions in society within our governmental system. Ladies and gentlemen, socialism has even worked its way into our churches today, and it's not recognized. Many churches, many denominations today embrace the idea of all of us having to be equal, that we must be able to give to others that do not have. We must be able to, as Barack Hussein Obama said just a few years back when talking about the need to spread the wealth, he said, if my daughter has a pizza and someone doesn't have pizza, she needs to share them half of her pizza. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the mindset that permeates society today. That's not bad to give to someone else. It's not saying that that is antithetical with biblical truth, but it's simply not what ought to be the rule of life and living in the society in which we're living in today. So why should Christians be concerned about this issue of socialism, which is nothing but communism-lite? Who were some of the most famous socialists slash communists that if I were to call the names, you'd understand it? Karl Marx. We have today what is called Marxism. Vladimir Lenin. We have Joseph Stalin. And I could go on and on and on with the whole plethora of those that come out of that background. Those are the three major ones that most of us know. Adolf Hitler, of course, following in the Marxist-Leninist, how would you say, mindset. But all socialists, may I remind us today, simply put, within the realm of all of socialism, it's simply communism light, communism light. And so when we talk about socialism, I don't need to go into the great detail of trying to get educate you on socialism. This broadcast is not timely for that. But I want us to understand we're going back, and I want us to do a throwback in history and a look back for a moment at socialism through the eyes of Karl Marx, Vladimir Lenin, Joseph Stalin, and Adolf Hitler, to name a few. So what do all of these well-known historic figures have in common? Let me just give you the commonality of those that I just named. By the way, some of the men that are more, if you please, current would be people like Hugo Chavez, Maduro, Morales, Fidel Castro, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But Marx and Lenin and Stalin and Hitler, most all understand those names. All were anti-God. All were anti-church. All were anti-Christian. Each of them destroyed the working class. Each of those that I just named that are the high-profile socialist slash communist were anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Christian, anti-church, and they destroyed the working class. The freedom of speech was canceled. Freedom of religion destroyed. Confiscation of personal weapons. A system of defense was taken away. The control of all means of production, totally controlled and redistributed through the Marxist, communist, Leninist, Stalinist system of that era. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not been too many years back. And yet somehow, some way, we as Americans, and especially as Christians, do not recognize that we're embracing that on many levels. In fact, in Colossians 2 and verse 8, the scripture says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophies and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." That should be a warning to every Christian, ladies and gentlemen. Be very, very careful of what's being offered on the plate of society today. We're talking about the commonality, the common denominator, Karl Marx and Lenin and Stalin and Hitler, and those that are socialist, communist-like socialist. There's a control of all material production. Socialism, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, hates the Jewish people, the Jewish nation. Socialism, communism-like, the food supply is totally controlled. The state system decides who is provided for, who gets what, and how it is distributed. So, ladies and gentlemen, just a heads up for all of those that are listening today, the only thing that has protected America from the ravages of socialism to this day is the following: the Bible, the Word of God, the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look at it on a scale. You can look at it on a system of analysis and see as the Bible, the Word of God, the gospel is diminished, you will find the rise of a demand for and an embracing of socialism in our nation today. You can go to any nation around the world and you will discover where the gospel has not been proclaimed, where the churches are not free, where religious liberty is not free, where the confiscation of weapons is a fact, where you cannot defend yourself and your family, where there is no freedom of speech. You will find communism, socialism will prevail. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the thing that's protected America for 243 years is the fact that we have the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have the Word of God, we have the Bible, and as a result of that, our founding fathers, ladies and gentlemen, that was willing to, if you will, surrender their lives, their liberties, their futures, and their fortunes on their document that we call today our freedom documents, our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution, and within that, our Bill of Rights. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the educational system until the past 50 years has taught students true U.S. history. Ladies and gentlemen, for the past 50 years, true U.S. history, United States history, has not been taught in the United States of America, in the public educational system. Our governmentally controlled colleges and universities have become a bastion of liberalism, a bastion of fascism, a bastion of communism and socialism. And as a result of that, our kids go into these universities of higher education, of higher learning, the colleges and the university system, where they're can get all kinds of grants and federal funds, and everybody likes free. So as a result of the free educational system, as it is so often referred to, it is simply a bastion where our students go in, and they go in with high ideals. Many of them go in with Christian values and from Christian homes with biblical worldview, and that biblical worldview is trounced. It is destroyed. It's laughed at. It is mocked at. It is demeaned and derided until that student decides, I'll just surrender my faith, I'll surrender my belief, I'll surrender my background and what I've been taught by my family that loves the Lord and that perhaps has a good handle on U.S. history. And they come out brainwashed, and they come out as the millennials today, the socialist millennials today. Ladies and gentlemen, 40% of the millennials want socialism. And as one writer put it, they're not really wanting socialism because they've never been taught anything but socialism. They think that it's all right. What they want is free stuff. Free stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, that was tried and failed in biblical history in the first century church. In fact, the scripture says in Acts chapter 4, verse 32 and following, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said they any of them that ought of their thine of things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common." Communism, socialism there, ladies and gentlemen. And the scripture says in verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witnesses of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Verse 34 says, neither was there any among them that lacked, for many as were possessors of lands and of houses sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Ladies and gentlemen, that failed. Ultimately, the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians said, if you don't work, you don't eat. If you're not willing to get out and work, then you should not be afforded food on your table. But ladies and gentlemen, with the millennials today, 40% of them want socialism. That open-minded, I call it airheaded mind mentality, that's never been taught U.S. history, never been taught world history, does not know the cataclysmic end result of socialism that only leads into hard communism, that only leads into the destruction of the people and the destruction of a nation. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, 57% of Democrats today say they believe in socialism. And what they're really saying is, we believe in free stuff. We want stuff to be free. Ladies and gentlemen, our founding fathers and our freedom documents, with all of our liberties codified in them, was simply the founding documents for our nation today that were willing to absolutely say in a major, major fashion, we're going to cast off any thoughts of socialism and communism that came from our founding fathers, came out of a socialistic mindset, a mindset where the gospel is not free, mindset where people are not free, a mindset where says that you're under our thumb and domination and control. But our educational system, ladies and gentlemen, for the past 50 years is the cause, hear me, is the cause of where we are in societal thought today, and the quagmire of the socialistic scramble for the control of our governmental system today. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, any nation where Jesus Christ is not preached, any nation where the Bible is not readily available, any place where the Bible is not held in high esteem, any place where the Word of God is demeaned and diminished and destroyed, you will find that you're not free. You will find socialism and communism and people ultimately without hope. Now, perhaps you're saying, why are you talking about that today? I'm talking about the subject today, ladies and gentlemen, socialism versus constitutionalism and Christianity. Socialism is antithetical to our Constitution. Socialism is antithetical to biblical Christianity. And so don't let anybody deceive you. Don't buy into any new vain philosophies and ideas, as is warned in Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 8. Don't go back to the fundamentals of socialism because you want free stuff. This is why, ladies and gentlemen, everyone listening to my voice today, we need to understand what's on the agenda that is before us that is major, major damaging for us. In fact, President Trump recently, when speaking before the United Nations, President Trump in his address before the United Nations called for the restoration of democracy in Venezuela and said the once prosperous nation's demise as an illustration of why every nation on earth should resist socialism and the misery that it brings to the people. He said more than 2 million people have fled the anguish inflicted by the socialist Maduro regime and its Cuban sponsors. And he further says, not long ago, prior to the election of socialist revolutionary president Hugo Chavez in 1998, Venezuela was once the richest country, one of the richest countries on earth. Today, he says, President Trump speaking, socialism has bankrupted the oil-rich nation and has driven its people into abject poverty. He says, basically everywhere socialism or communism has been tried, it has produced suffering, corruption, and decay. Socialism, President Trump said, socialism's thirst for power leads to the expansion, intrusion, and oppression. He says, and I quote, all nations of the world should resist socialism and the misery that it brings to everyone, the president declared. Ladies and gentlemen, I find it absolutely antithetical to anything that we think is biblical truth today with what we're finding in the push for socialism. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Good morning. You just said it. It is, Marxism is antithetical to Christianity and anything that is common sense, quite frankly. I'd like to say something, see how you respond to it, and I hope the folks who are listening will give this some consideration also. I've looked into the issue of Marxism and Christianity for a long time, and courtesy of the Air Force, spent a lot of time at the interface between nations under socialism and communism and the free West, and the difference is stunning, as I guess those of us in our age group would know. But here's the point. Marxism is has the fingerprint of Satan all over it because it deconstructs what Christianity does. One of the primal underpinnings of the Christian faith is the marriage between a man and a woman. Every culture that has ever existed has turned on the health of the family, the health of the faith system, and the health of the free enterprise system, what a person does to feed their family. But here's the point I'd like to make, and we just saw it in the last 2 weeks in the Senate of the United States. At the root of Marxism is the desire to deconstruct masculinity and femininity and make it one person that's entirely subservient to the state. Under God, it is the human being representing the image of God who has incredible dignity. The dignity of the human being is subjugated to the state under Marxism, socialism, et cetera, et cetera. In fact, under the Marxist socialist system, fathers cease to exist, mothers cease to exist, the state becomes the father, and mothers and fathers do the same jobs, sexual distinctions notwithstanding, for the good of the state. Stalin killed, starved, what, 20 to 22 million of his people, producing butter for export so he could pick up his economy, did not care for those people. Russia died, the Soviet Union, USSR, died because they destroyed the family. Here's the bottom line of what I want to say. In Christianity, in the Judeo-Christian ethic, God established a binary system. He made the male and female for a reason. When you destroy the essential masculinity and the essential femininity of a culture, your culture becomes demonic and dies. And we saw that, didn't we, in the last 2 weeks in the Senate of the United States, an attempt to destroy the essential masculinity of the culture by destroying the strong males who give every culture its forward motion. At the same time, we've destroyed the femininity, that's a tough word to say, the femininity of the culture by de-emphasizing the nurturing role of the mother and putting people out, gals out in the workplace to displace the men in the traditional jobs that men do. I've said a lot, I need to shut up. But the bottom line is the fingerprint of Satan in your culture is when you get rid of essential masculinity and essential femininity, and that's exactly what socialism and Marxism do to be effective and subjugate the person to the state.
Absolutely. And what you've said, let me just wrap up the loose ends with that from the standpoint for our listeners. Socialism is based on greed. It's based on a lack of education. It's based on materialistic worldview and not a central biblicist worldview. It punishes work. It destroys incentive. It encourages class warfare, and it encourages sexual, if you please, distinction warfare. It seeks to destroy the marriage and the family, the home, and it does that in every nation that's ever gone into. And that's the very reason that I want our listeners today to understand the reason that we're in such a tight position in the state of Florida. We're bad across the nation, but in the state of Florida, where we got a socialist, Marxist, Leninist running for governor is frightening to me. I don't know about our listeners, but it's frightening. But thank
Andrew,
you so much for yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Say Andrew Gillum is right out of the School of Cultural Marxism from Frankfurt. And now in this country, Columbia University infecting all the other Ivy League schools. Thank you for the chance to express myself this morning.
Thank you so much for your call and your comments. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Good morning, Brother Youngblood. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for your call.
Yeah. Now, the two scriptures in Acts of the Holy Spirit, and all thing, and all those who had believed were together, they... let's see here. And they had all things in common. And that's in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 4, and the congregation or multitude of those who believe were of one heart and soul, and not one of them was saying or claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. Now, that started like that, and it did end. But the scripture you use in 1 Corinthians, Brother Youngblood, about if any man doesn't work, don't let them eat, I don't see that as applicable to these, because this was voluntary. It wasn't forced upon the early Jewish believers to do this. They did do it, and obviously it wasn't continued in mass. But to say that they, and it was to help people probably that didn't have a place to stay. But I don't think you can exegete 1 Corinthians and make that apply to this.
No,
these were people not actually working.
I was not quoting 1 Corinthians. I was quoting 2 Thessalonians.
Okay.
2 Thessalonians, Paul was very, very clear, because there was a laziness, a nonchalantness. There was an attitude that I don't have to work. And the Apostle Paul said, friends, you don't work, you don't eat. And it
right.
is connected. It is connected without any question. It's not connected in the direct scripture in the context of it, but in the concept of the era and the time in which it was. Yes, it started off voluntary, but it started off on a voluntary basis, and they discovered it did not work because folks were sitting around and were being fed and did not contribute to the need of the work, labor to produce. And it is true even today. And as a result of that, we have a whole system today in the process where the church has been void of its responsibility of helping. And yes, there's a need. But Jesus himself said, when there was an argument debate about the amount of the precious perfume, the ointment that was poured on Jesus, some of the disciples are griping and bellyaching, this could have been sold for 300 pence and given to the poor. And Jesus, in essence, and I'm going to give you the Youngblood paraphrase, Jesus said, hey guys, listen, you're going to always have poor with you. Don't gripe and bellyache about what this woman has done for me. She's done all that she could. And so we have the concept today, though, that we're going to eradicate those that are poor, and that'll never happen. We need to help when those are helpless. We need to help those that cannot work, those that cannot because of their inability physically to work. But that does not say that we as a nation ought to be a socialist nation. That is simply not the case at all.
Yeah. Yes, I understand that. Very good. However, I was looking at the context and the culture of the day that this was written, and to look at it from that. Now, the church age, the congregations, as you stated, were supposed to help those that couldn't help themselves. And then, but to reconcile that with Jesus' statement, you have the poor with you always, it almost seems to be a contradiction. We should help. The church should help. We've fallen far short. However, the poor are always going to be here. So how would
right.
you reconcile those two?
You can't, it's irreconcilable. It's not a matter that we are not to help those that cannot help themselves, but it's a matter that we as a church, as a body of Christ, universally and collectively and locally as a church, we cannot feed everyone. It's not an unusual thing for me to find those that will come knocking on the door saying, pay my power bill, pay my house payment, put gas in my tank, only to find out that they are drawing every type of welfare and state funding program possible and wanting the church to also support them, and they're not working. I've talked with people hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times in the past 50 plus years that are well-abled bodied people to work, but they're too lazy to work, and they're just depending on the benevolent hearts of Christians to supply their need. And that is simply antithetical to biblical concept of what we ought to do as Christians.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your call. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about today is socialism versus constitutionalism and Christianity. And the point that I want to get to, and I'll finalize this and we'll wrap up the thought on the broadcast tomorrow, is the fact that we have two candidates running for office for the state, for the office of governor for the state of Florida. And one of them happens to be an absolutely in-your-face, proud socialist. He is Andrew Gillum. He is a failed mayor in Tallahassee. He's 39 years old. He is proud to be a socialist. In fact, some out of the Bernie Sanders socialist camp say that he is Barack Hussein Obama 2.0. And so we need to realize we're in danger. And I want you to hear me and hear me well in these last 30 seconds, ladies and gentlemen, on this broadcast. We need to register to vote. Today's the last day to register to vote for Floridians in the state of Florida for us to vote for the November the 6th election. We need to vote no on Andrew Gillum. We need to vote yes on Ron DeSantis and put a man in office that is not a socialist, not one that is socialist or communist-like. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to pick up on this broadcast, same subject tomorrow, but thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air, even tomorrow, as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.